Today is Easter. Today is Resurrection Day. And I don't need to remind the people here, but Easter is not about bunnies. It's not about baskets. It's not about colored eggs. It's not about candy. It's not about new dresses or new hats or new shoes. Easter is all about the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Easter is all about life, not just physical life, but spiritual life. And let me just tell you what I mean by that. We are alive spiritually when we have a relationship with the God that created us. We were made to have both physical and spiritual life. Every single person in this room was made by God to have a relationship with Him. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. To think that the God of creation wants to have a relationship with me. And I would tell you, again, every person that's sitting in this room this morning, the God that created you, the God that created the person sitting next to you, the God that created everybody sitting in this room and created everything that we see about us, wants to have a relationship with you. When God created Adam and Eve, He put them in the garden, Garden of Eden. He had a relationship with them. The Bible tells us that He walked and talked with them in the cool of the day. They had a relationship with their Creator God. God made us for the same purpose. He wants to fellowship with us. One day He wants us to come to that place where He lives. He wants to walk and talk with us. That's His plan for every single person that's here this morning. Now, we know the story of Adam and Eve. They were in that place called the Garden of Eden. They were in that perfect place, and something messed up their relationship with God. Their disobedience messed it up. Their rebellion against God messed it up. Their sin messed it up. And as a result of their disobedience, their relationship with their God was broken. It was disrupted. You know the story. God, as a perfect, holy God, cannot tolerate sin in His presence, and so He had to expel them from the Garden of Eden. He had to kick them out from the Garden of Eden. They could no longer fellowship with their God. They can no longer fulfill the purpose that they were created for. They can no longer fellowship with their Creator. The same is true of every person here. Sin has broken your relationship with your Creator, with your God. You say, "Preacher, how can you say that? This is my first time here. You don't even know me. How can you say that sin has broken my relationship with God?" Because I believe the Bible when the Bible says all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. We've all disobeyed God. We've all revolted against God. We've all broken His commandments. We put other things in front of Him. We haven't always obeyed our parents. We haven't always told the truth. We've coveted. I mean, I could keep going down the list. Sooner or later, I'll get to a sin that you have committed. I probably already hit them. But our relationship with God was broken by our sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, although sin brings on physical death sometimes, but the wages of sin is spiritual death, being separated from God, not having a relationship with that one that created us. I got wonderful news for you this morning. Because of Easter, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God can offer to every person the gift of life. Not just physical life, spiritual life, everlasting life, eternal life, forever life. This morning, we want to tell you how to get that life. We want to share with you how you can know for sure that you have it. We want you to listen to the wonderful words of life. The words we're going to share with you this morning are about a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a prince of heaven. He sat at the right hand of God in glory. But one day, He set aside His throne. One day, He set aside His crown. One day, He came to earth and took the form of a man. He grew up in a Jewish home. He worked as a carpenter. He faced life like any other man, with one exception. He never sinned. He never sinned. Not one time did he disappoint God. Not one time did he displease God. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. One day he will come back to this earth. One day he will come back and we will crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The whole earth needs to know about this one we call Jesus. When Jesus came to earth the first time, he didn't come as king. He didn't come as Lord. He came as a servant. He came in obedience to his Father's will. He came to tell us how much God loved us. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It says in the book of Romans, God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says in the book of John, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." I will tell you this morning, as we share these words of wonderful life with you, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. We weren't his friends yet. The Bible says we were still in our sin. And yet he came and he laid down his life for us. He paid the price of our sin. He gave his life on our behalf. He paid the penalty we owe. Down through the ages, men and women have asked, why? Why would God love us in that way? Why would a sinless one die for the guilty? Why would an immortal one die for the mortal? Why would God give his Son to die in our place? And down through the ages, men have tried to explain it. Down through the ages, we've tried to understand why God would love us so much. But I'll tell you the truth. I've been thinking about it for almost 50 years. I can't figure it out. I don't know why God would love somebody like me. Because of that love, God allowed man to take his Son and nail him to a cross. When Jesus hung on that cross, God took all of my sin, and he took all of your sin, and he placed that sin on his Son. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You see, on the cross, Jesus paid the price of every one of our sins. The price that I owed, the price that you owed. He suffered death. Yes, he suffered physical death. We know that he died and that he was laid in a tomb. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he suffered something else on the cross. He suffered spiritual death. When God took all of our sins and laid them on his Son, the Bible says from about the sixth hour, which is about noon, until the ninth hour, about 3 p.m., that darkness was over the face of the earth. About the ninth hour, the Bible tells us that Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I want you to understand what was happening when Jesus made that statement. For the first time in all eternity, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son was broken. For the first time in all eternity, when Jesus bore all our sins, God the Father had to turn his back on his only Son. He had to break the relationship that he had with Jesus Christ. At that moment, at the moment that God turned his back on his Son, At the moment that the relationship between God the Father and God the Son was disrupted, was broken because of our sin, that's the moment that Jesus paid the price for our sin. Because you see, he had no sin to pay for of his own. I've already mentioned he was tempted in all points like as we, and yet he was sinless. Not one time did he ever lie. Not one time did he ever dishonor his parents. Not one time did he break any of the commandments that God had given. And yet he hung on that cross and suffered the penalty of sin, separation from God, spiritual death. He did that on our behalf. He did that in our place. On the cross, he paid for our sin. On the cross that day, Jesus died both physically and spiritually. The Bible tells us that two men, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, came and they took his body down off the cross. They laid it in a borrowed tomb. And for 3 days and three nights, Jesus lay in that tomb. But on the first Easter, that Sunday morning, something wonderful and something glorious happened. The Bible talks about it in Luke chapter 24 when it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher bringing in the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." Because you see, the tomb couldn't hold him. Death could not hold him. He arose a victor over sin, a victor over death. And because of that victory, the victory over sin, the victory over death, he can offer to every man the gift of life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that gift is like any other gift. You got to take it. You got to receive it. The Bible says in the book of John, "But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And you might say this morning, "Well, preacher, how do I get that gift? How do I get that life that Christ purchased for me on Calvary's cross? How do I get that relationship back with my God?" Well, the Bible tells us. Again, in the book of Romans, it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." With my heart, not that organ that pumps my blood, but that part of me that is the center of me, that part of me that is all of me, that part of me that contains my will and my emotions and my desires. In my heart, I believe what I've heard this morning. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that that sin separates me from my Creator, my God. I believe that that sin separates me from the one who made me to have a relationship with Him. And I believe that on the cross, Jesus Christ paid what I owed. He paid the price of my sin. He suffered my death for me. And I believe that if I ask Him, He'll save me. He'll give me that life. He'll give me that relationship back with my God. And then with my mouth, I confess. And what that means is simply, I ask Jesus to save me. I pray a prayer. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but it has to be something like this. I pray a prayer and I say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty that comes with sin. But I believe on Calvary's cross you died in my place. I believe on Calvary's cross you paid the price that I owe. And right now I'm asking you to save me. Right now I'm asking you to become my Savior and to restore my relationship with God. Let me ask you this morning. I want to ask every single person. I don't care if this is your first time here, if you've been here 118 times. Have you done that? Has there been a time in your life where you asked Jesus to save you? If not, why not? Why not? He's made it so simple. I mean, every other week we send the kids out to the fellowship hall, and Adam preaches the same thing. And God made it so simple that even little children can understand it. You were made by God. You were made by God because He wants a relationship with you. That relationship was messed up by sin. But on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for my sin. And if we ask Him, He'll save us. Why won't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that? You can't get it any other way. You can't get it any other way. You can't get your relationship with God back any other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're here this morning, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do it. If you've never done it, if you've never asked Jesus to save you, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do it. I'd like everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song, number 319, Just As I Am. I invite you to come to Jesus this morning. He's the only way that you can get life. That's what Easter's all about. He's the only way to get your relationship back with God. You can't do it any other way. You can only do it through Him. Now listen, I want to make it perfectly clear this morning. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to become a member of this church. I think being a Baptist is a good thing, and I think being a part of this church is a good thing, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about you becoming a member of the family of God. I'm talking about you getting your sins forgiven. I'm talking about you getting your relationship back with the one that created you. And the only way you can do that is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. If you'll come while we're singing and say, Preacher, I've never done that. I need somebody to help me do it. We will help you this morning. We'll help you do that this morning. Would you come? Let's pray, and then we'll stand. But let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the resurrection that makes it all possible. And I pray this morning for those that may be here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray that in just a second they will get up from their pew and they will walk the aisle, and we would have the privileges of showing them from the Bible that Jesus died for them. And He wants to save them. He wants to restore the relationship with their Creator. And so I pray for every single person that doesn't know Christ, every single person that's never prayed a prayer like that, I pray that they would come in just a second, that they would come and make Jesus theirs. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.